Well, it's good to be here, folks. Good to have everybody with us. We're going to pick up this morning. If you have your Bible, turn to Revelation 9, chapter 9 and verse 11. Revelation 9:11. Father, I pray for wisdom, Lord. I need the gift of teaching. I need the anointing, the unction of the Holy Spirit. Stand for you, Lord, to stand for you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here in chapter number 9 of Revelation, verse number 11, they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is, in the Hebrew tongue, Abaddon. But in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. I want you to notice in verse number 11, it says, the angel of the bottomless pit. How many of you have ever seen a photograph of the memorial in New York City to the Twin Towers? It's a square thing, right? Then it's got water coming down. Then it's got a black hole in the center into a black void. And you could certainly say that that thing in the center looks like a bottomless pit. Can't you? You certainly can. I'm not here today to second guess the designers of that. But don't you think that's quite remarkable that Revelation chapter number 9... verse 11 makes reference to the bottomless pit? That's quite a remarkable thing, don't you think? Yeah. Abaddon, Apollyon, the bottomless pit. Let me mention this before we get any further. A lot of people are wondering about this Mandela effect. It's got a lot of people upset greatly. How many of you remember me teaching about the Dead Sea Scrolls? I've mentioned them a number of times and gone into quite detail. And the Dead Sea Scrolls, one part of the Dead Sea Scrolls is a 57-foot long scroll of Isaiah. This scroll dates to the 2nd or the 3rd century B.C. In other words, the scroll is within 300 to 400 years of the original Isaiah. The original Isaiah was written about 700 B.C. Now that's it, folks. That's the original. This scroll is only removed by about 300 to 400 years from the original. Well, I don't know why I didn't think of this, but Brother Brian Rowland did. He got on the internet and he checked into the Dead Sea Scroll in Isaiah chapter number 11 to see if the wolf lies down with the lamb or it's a lion that lies down with the lamb from the Dead Sea Scroll 300 B.C. Guess which one it says? Wolf. They're messing with your mind. They're messing with your mind. When they're trying to tell you that the CERN scientists have opened up a doorway where they can move through time. And by being able to move through time, they can go out back and redact, alter the text of the Bible or other things to suit whatever purpose, agenda they have. And, of course, the process, they destroy your faith in the Word of God. That's a powerful statement. But he called that to my attention that he looked it up on the internet, and the Dead Sea Scroll says, wolf shall lie down with a lamb, 300 B.C. Only about 300 or 400 years removed from the original text. So it's obvious they haven't changed anything. What they're doing is psyops, what they call it. They're messing with your mind. And it makes me wonder sometimes if it's not the foundation for what's coming. Because the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2, for this cause God will send them a strong delusion. If there ever was a deluded generation, it's this one today. Amen. There is a deluding spirit, a impersonating, a deceiving spirit that has gone out into the world. And it would pay heed. We'd be very smart. We'd be wise today, folks, to buckle up now and start observing what's going on around us, because it's happening at an alarming rate. I mean, everything's accelerating. And what used to take 5 years, now is 5 months. And so we need to watch this thing. A few months back in June, they opened up the Gotthard Tunnel that goes underneath the Swiss Alps. In some places, it is as deep as 1.5 miles down into the ground. 37 miles long, it is the longest tunnel in the world. It's a train tunnel. It's to carry freight. And then, of course, they're saving a lot of time by being able to go underneath that mountain range, the Alps. The word Gotthard, I looked that up. I know what the word Gott, G-O-T-T, means in German. It means God. Mein Gott in German is my God. As you know, English and German share a common heritage. We have a lot of words in English that are very similar to or identical to German words. When they marched the troops in the military, it was quite a remarkable thing. In World War II, they were fighting the Germans, but they were using German terminology. When you're marching troops, you don't say stop. You say halt. Halt's a German word. So we share a common ancestry in our language. The word Gotthard means stern God or God stern. In other words, there's a seal here from God. Now here's the problem. What God? See, what God are we talking about? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or some God that is a created God that comes from this earth? You know, Satan, a false god or something of that nature. But in any event, the tunnel is a door to the underworld. It opens up something that's coming up from underneath the world, the underground, the underworld. That's what this tunnel does. Now, CERN, Switzerland, in CERN, they go down underneath the ground and they're opening up the... this is very distracting. We'll get this fixed for next Sunday. Yes, I know what it's doing. I know what they're doing. They're going into this class in the back bag. It's very distracting. When they try to get your mind focused and I'm thinking and I'm trying to concentrate and people are knocking on the door trying to get in here, that's very distracting. Some folks it wouldn't bother, but it does bother me greatly. So we got to work it out next week to where those folks can get in that classroom without having to come through that door. All right, let's get that done and get back into the lesson. Everybody's not the same. It takes a lot of concentration to get up here and do what I'm trying to do, folks. I spent a lot of hours in preparation to get up here and do this. This is not something I picked up on the way to church. So let's get back. CERN, Switzerland, and this tunnel are both doors to the underground. And they are portals. And this is what you need to keep in mind. A portal is something that allows a entrance or exit of a spirit. Now, a lot of people don't believe in things like that. But what did you just read in Revelation chapter number 9? Amen. The bottomless pit. The opening of the bottomless pit. And that is somewhere. No question about that. Not just anywhere, but somewhere. Now, all over this world, there are places that are marked and set aside by the local culture as places that are definitely, I don't know, they may say superstitious or demonic or whatever the title they want to give it, but it's an underground. It's a door to the underground. For example, at Benias, up there in the northern part of Israel, I've been there. I've told you about it before. The water comes bubbling up underneath, from underneath, and there's a huge mountain cave there. It's a huge cave, like a mouth. And they say, tradition says in that area, that it's the gates of hell. It's the gate to hell. Well, now the Lord Jesus was standing there 2,000 years ago at Benias, and he had his disciples gathered around him, and he said, Peter, he said, upon this rock, Caesarea Philippi is where it is, Benias, Caesarea Philippi, same place, just two different names for the same location. The Lord said, he said, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, that's the gate to hell, to those people that that mouth was opening up and letting this come out. And of course, you know, this is the headwaters of the Jordan River. And the Jordan River descends from that point all the way down to the Dead Sea. And it empties into the Dead Sea. And when the Lord Jesus Christ went into the Jordan River, he went into death and then came out on the other side of death. Amen. That's what baptism represents. It represents death. And what better illustration for that than to be baptized into the Jordan, which means descender into death, because the Dead Sea is at the end of its journey. So in anyway, CERN, Switzerland, and Gotthard Tunnel are portals to the underworld. Now, they just had a ceremony when they dedicated this tunnel. And it's one of the most remarkable things that you've ever seen. I would not recommend watching it. I watched about 5 minutes of it to do this morning, yesterday, for the simple fact that I wanted to get commentary on what I was looking at. It is one of the most demonic, satanic, openly satanic, openly demonic ceremonies that I have ever seen in my life. It is unbelievable at the in-your-face Satanism that's attached to this thing. The president of France, chancellor of Germany, the president of Italy, and the president of Switzerland were all present when this thing, when they had this ceremony. That's the leadership of Europe. And they had nothing but glowing terms to say about what they were looking at. Now, I'm going to go through some of the stuff that that happened there to, in a general sense. But let me say this at the very beginning. A lot of this stuff that happened at this tunnel is open to interpretation. It's open to interpretation. In other words, they don't have a script going alongside of what's happening to explain it. You just see it. And then it's up to you to interpret it. Now, let me tell you something about interpretation. When it comes to the occult world, they know what it means. An occultist may never have been to Switzerland, but if he or she were present at that, they would know exactly the message that's coming out in that thing, because they are part of the elite, the initiates. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. Here we have CERN, Switzerland, a picture or a statue to Shiva, the destroyer, who then restores. And we have this ceremony that's performed that's the weirdest thing you ever saw in your life. You can pull it up on Google. That's associated with the reopening of CERN. It's occultic, satanic, no question about it whatsoever. And now here we have this tunnel that's opened up here in Switzerland. Switzerland. Both places in Switzerland. Supposed to be a neutral country, has been now for years and years and years. Affected by the culture of the Dutch, affected by the culture of the Germans, affected by the culture of the French. It's like Belgium. Belgium doesn't have their own language. Did you know that? In Belgium, they speak French in the south and they speak Dutch in the north. Area called Flanders around in there. They don't have their own language. Don't you think it's amazing? That I didn't mean to get off onto this, but where is the seat of the European Union? Belgium. Brussels. Did you know they opened up a few years back a huge area in there that had all these computers and everything in it? Did you know they had they gave it a name? You know what they called it? They called it the Beast. Did you know that CERN, Switzerland, if you go and look at the logo that's attached with CERN, Switzerland, it's a strange looking thing like this. And you know what it is? It's three sixes. Six, six, six. Why would they choose that? Why would the elite, and this is who the movers and shakers are of this, why would the elite purposely pick the number 666? And why would they have a satanic ritual? No question about it. A satanic ritual that's associated with the opening up of a tunnel to the underworld. And the same thing happened at CERN. Do you know why? As I've said to you before, these people are very religious. You know why? When the devil took the Lord out into the wilderness, and after 40 days he took him up on the pinnacle of the temple and let all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time pass before him, and he said, "All of this is mine, I can give it to whomsoever I will." The Lord did not rebuke him. Remember, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The Lord did not rebuke him, because Satan has power to give these kingdoms to whomsoever he will. And they have fallen into a league with Satan, and they are reaping the benefit of it. They are getting the kingdoms. Did you know that Barack Obama, just a couple of days ago, is now starting to give out to the American sheeple that we need a federal oversight of the police? A federal oversight of the police? Now go home and meditate on that for a while. The police are doing a pretty good job. They've got some problems just like anybody else has, but I wouldn't want to do their job. They put their life on the line every day. Five of them shot dead in Dallas, Texas. And did you know, dear friend, that this is on the internet? That they are dancing and celebrating in front of the very police officers who were the friend, who their friends had just been shot dead. And they're dancing and celebrating right in front of them. You talk about needing patience, boy, you have to have patience. Imagine how those police officers in Dallas, Texas, feel about a situation like that. But here's the thing. If you have the heavy hand of the federal government coming down on you, and of course the FBI, I mean, they don't make any mistakes. Check Hillary out. I didn't mean to get off in all this stuff, but check her out one time. Even the director of the FBI said that she was grossly negligent, or whatever terminology he used. Anybody else, he said, would have been prosecuted. But Hillary gets off. You know why? She's their pick. That's the one the elite wants to put into office. And now in the last couple of days, she has come out and she has blamed certain groups of people in this country. I don't want to start a race war. It's not about a race war. This is what the elite's trying to do. But Hillary Clinton has come out and accused you, most of you in here, of being responsible, along with the police, for what's going on down there. And we need to change our ways. Imagine what kind of a country you're going to have if she goes in as president. Think long and hard on that. Yes, sir.
2 hours before the shooting down there, Farrakhan got on there on the internet and told the black men Muslims to rise up and to kill the white police, the devils. And the gentleman that they have for shooting these five cops was a Muslim, and they're not reporting that.
The man that did the killing in Dallas was a Muslim?
Yes, he was.
No, they're not reporting that. I didn't know that, brother. Okay, but you've got that on pretty good authority. Okay, it was a Muslim. Well, that gives him an extra incentive. I mean, it puts it in perspective. When a Muslim kills you, folks, he's killing a pig. You understand? He's demonized you. You're a pig. It's like stomping on a roach. When he kills you, that's nothing. He laughs. He smiles. He enjoys it while he's blowing you away. It's hard for the American people to understand what's going on here. Here's what's going on in the country. There is a concerted effort to create tension between the races in this nation. And by creating that tension and creating this crisis point, they can intervene. They can step in and implement what they will. And here's what Kissinger said. Kissinger said that the police or the troops would never be able to walk into Los Angeles. But Kissinger says that the time will come when they will beg for them to come into Los Angeles. That's what Henry Kissinger said. You want me to give you a few more quotes from Mr. Kissinger? You wouldn't want to hear him. You'd be so mad you couldn't stand him before you walked out that door. You understand that all of this is designed to bring about a desired goal. And I marvel at how fast all of this is happening. It blows my mind at how quickly. By the time you get home this afternoon, you may turn your TV on and see where more has happened. Stuff that'll blow your mind. Yes, sir. Cernunnos, yes, he's a green man. That's right, the green man, the god of the underworld.
Bush was reading a book when the Twin Towers fell about the something about goats.
Right.
When Barack Obama was running for president, they said that he was the son of a goat herder. And everything is about goats, and that dance was about the man.
Well, right, we're going to, yes, just think this ceremony at Gotthard, it definitely has a goat prominent in the middle of it and takes charge of it. A goat man, goat faced. It's got demons in it. It's got souls in it that are flying around in the air. It's got a procession where it's unbelievable at the kind of message they're getting. They carry a dead lamb. And they're mocking the Lamb of God. They're trying to say that the power that rises up out of the earth, this horned being, this green horned being, the Cernunnos, goat man you're talking about, happens to have a green face. You know, CERN. See, CERN is the short of Cernunnos. The green man, the goat man, the horned goat man who is the god of the underworld. All right. Don't you think it's quite remarkable they call it CERN? I mean, there's millions of names they could have used for that. The reason they do is because they're identifying it with their God. Their God has promised to give them authority, power, riches, and rulership over this world. And the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I cannot emphasize that enough. Here's why. That's an eschatological statement. So what do you mean by that? That has to do with the way you view the world. Now, if you are in the camp that believes that by the preaching of the gospel, you're going to convert this world, and that the gospel is going to have to be preached to the ends of the earth before the Lord comes back, you're going to reject the idea that Satan is really in control and hands these kingdoms to whomsoever he will, and the church is going to overcome it. No, the church is not. The church is not. This world is not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. This is why the Lord said, if you got a garment, sell it and buy a sword. Reason you do that is because the kingdom of heaven that Christ offered as their king was rejected. And when it was rejected, the first thing that the Lord God did was turn to the apostle Paul to call him as the apostle to the Gentiles to build the church of God. Christ said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the first thing he did right off the bat in the book of Acts was to bring a Gentile into the church. And let Peter know, who represented the Jews and the foundation for the whole thing. He let Peter know unequivocally, a Gentile is part of the body of Christ. And he could not argue with it because Cornelius spoke in tongues. As they had at the beginning in Acts chapter number 2, to show that the power of the Holy Ghost had come down on him just like he did the rest of them. And so there's no question about it. He knew that. So eschatology will determine how you view these things. What do I see in it? I see that he's calling his bride out of this world. He's calling his bride out of this world. Jew, Gentile, red, yellow, black, white. American, Indian, making a difference who you are, where you come from. Bible said Christ tasted death for every man. He's calling his bride out of this world. And once he calls his bride out of this world, he'll come and get him, her, and catch her up to meet him in the clouds. Then in the middle of the tribulation period, Revelation 11, after chapter 9, Revelation 11, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ when he comes and takes them back to himself. That's a big deal. So this Gentile kingdom, this image in Daniel chapter number 2, whose head is of gold, chest of silver, midsection of brass, legs of iron, feet of iron and clay will be smitten on its feet. And when it's smitten on its feet, it'll be smitten on its feet by a stone cut out of a mountain. That stone is the stone that the builders rejected. He's a living stone. That stone is cut out of the mountain, smites the image on its feet, and the Gentile kingdoms come crumbling down. Just like that. Bang. It's all over with for the Gentile kingdoms. And then the Lord will establish his own kingdom, and it'll be here for 1,000 years. That's why I'm premillennial, and he'll reign on this earth from the throne of David in Jerusalem. Over the 12 tribes of Israel will have their land restored. UN will have nothing to do with it. There'll be no such thing as a West Bank. All that garbage. Amen. The land of Israel will be restored to the Jews. And the whole earth will know the Lord. And the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And they'll come to Jerusalem. For the light will shine from there on the Feast of Tabernacles. Zechariah chapter 14. Amen. That's for the Gentiles. For you that are in the body of Christ and are born again, you will reign with him for 1,000 years on this earth. But the Bible says that they'll beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks and learn war no more. Did you know that that statement is right up there at the UN? It started as the League of Nations under Woodrow Wilson, developed into the United Nations after World War II. For the purpose of bringing peace to the earth. And the first group of people they demonized were Israel, the Jews. Blame them for everything that's happening. The United Nations is establishing a one world religion, a one world government, a one world army, a one world police force. How many's ever heard of Interpol? A few of you, well, good, you folks read. Interpol is a worldwide police force. So they're looking for all of this to bring about a one world government. And where is it? It's right up there on the banks of the Hudson River. And we're paying the bill for it. The United Nations. And it's going to come. And the kingdoms are coming. And the power is coming. And these people are walking out in front of you now. And they're dancing. And boy, some of the stuff that went, you wouldn't believe some of the sensual stuff that went on in this thing. I'm talking about people half naked. I'm talking about the whole filthy, satanic, cult, Illuminati. It's all for open display. They're proud of it, and they're going to get right in your face with it. Yes, now, I don't know what's going on in Rio. You know Rio de Janeiro. Did you know that 2012, you know that they had at the last Olympics, Summer Olympics, 2012, every 4 years. So this is 16. At that last one, I believe it, wasn't that in England? London, yeah. 2012, they had their display. Same thing, same satanic, Illuminati, cultic display. All right. Now we've got Rio coming up. And I don't know, has anybody read anything about what's going to be, what they're going to have in Rio? They've got a lot of problems in Rio de Janeiro down there in Brazil. They've got a lot of problems. They've got the water and the sewage and the power and the stuff that's necessary for all these people to come in there and have a lot of problem with all that. Does anybody know what's going to happen down there?
They're wanting to back out, whether or not they're going.
Well, the people of Rio are mad because it's costing them so much money, and they don't have transit, they don't have food, they don't have a lot of things.
The water and the sea is so polluted.
Yeah. Right. It's terrible. And some of these athletes have to compete in that water, don't they?
And the water, they don't have any water.
That's what I'm saying. The utilities, the they don't have that. But here's the point. Rio de Janeiro is coming up here, in 2 weeks, 3 weeks? Summer Olympics, anybody know? I don't keep up. It's what? August the 5th. All right. Well, 3 weeks. It's going to be here a little over 3 weeks, August the 5th, the games in Rio. Keep your eyes open to the opening ceremony.
Not to mention Zika virus.
Yeah, well, but keep your eyes open to the opening ceremony of Rio.
That's right.
And here's the thing. If you were one of the elite, you would know what 2012 represented, then what CERN represented, then what Gotthard represented, and then what Rio represented. And you might even be able to see a progression in the message that they're sending out to each other as they make it public. See these four things right here? As they make it public for the whole world to see. They want the world to see what's going on. And they're not ashamed. You know why? Because they see that the world is running to their feet, falling on their knees, and accepting their rulership of this world. You don't think so? Look at America. Look at America. You go to a church house and call yourself a Christian and then go vote for a baby killer and a sodomite enabler, and you come back to the house of God and call yourself a Christian. Our only problem this time is we know what one side is. We're not sure what's going to happen with the other side. But pragmatism says, you know, if it's a rattlesnake in the hole and you got another hole over here, I know the rattlesnake's in that hole, so I'll try this hole. That's where I stand. Really, I don't trust any of them. I really don't. If Trump goes into office, you don't know 6 months from now, he might be the worst devil that ever lived on the face of this earth. You have no idea. But if there's a thing about it is, if you know one's a devil and you know it's a devil and you know it's a devil, then leave it alone. That's where we stand. But here's the point. This country is embracing that spirit. They're embracing it. They're embracing it.
They are. July 16th, evangelical leaders, very prominent religious folks, are meeting with the Pope.
With the Pope.
And all for this new world order.
With the Pope. Did you listen to him?
Yes.
All of these great evangelical leaders are meeting with the Pope. And when just a few, you say July 16th, they're meeting with the Pope. All together. You know what purpose is, don't you? To lay down the foundation for a new one world religion.
Amen. All this all right. Is being orchestrated by Rome.
Yes, it is.
Folks, it's amazing.
All right. Now, you remember what I told you about eschatology a few minutes ago? Eschatology is a big deal. The eschatology is just a big, long Greek word that simply means the doctrine of last things. All right? That's what it means. You can throw around big words, make people think that you know something. That's a lot of people do that. So eschatology is the doctrine of last things. I believe that the church will build no kingdom upon this earth. The Lord Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, not my kingdom. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Then we're leaving this world. The Roman Catholic Church, on the other hand, has an entirely different world view. How do you know that? How many of you ever heard the word basilica? All right, that comes from the Greek word basileus. A basilica is the housing of a king. How many have ever seen a crucifix with the Lord Jesus on it and a crown on his head? You know why? Because he is reigning as a king now through the Roman Catholic Church over the earth. Do you understand that the Jesuits, of which the first Jesuit pope, began under Ignatius Loyola for the purpose of going out and bringing the secular kingdoms of this world under the authority and power of the Roman Catholic Pope. When they came to this country, I forget who it was, that put his staff in the ground, and he claimed everything from the Atlantic Ocean to the Pacific Ocean for the Pope. This whole North American continent was claimed for the Pope. Why? Because they have a secular authority and they're reigning on this earth. The Vatican. For a long time in Europe, they had what's called the Papal States. How many's ever heard of the Papal States? All right. The Papal States were legitimized apparently by what's called the donation of Constantine. All right. Now, how many remember who Constantine was? 325 A.D., the Council of Nicaea, he called it together to establish what Christianity was supposed to be about. What do we believe about the Son of God? What do we believe about the Holy Ghost? All this and that. And the Council of Nicaea, all right, Then what came out of that was called the Nicene Creed. All right. This came about by the direct hand of Constantine, the Roman emperor. Okay. Now, Constantine supposedly had what's called a donation of Constantine, giving the Roman Catholic Pope all of these Western European countries as the papal states. And they existed for hundreds of years. What's that mean? That means that the Roman Catholic Pope had secular authority over land, over kings, over people. And it wasn't until the 1800s in a dogfight with Italy that he finally cornered him in to what's called the Vatican City now. And Italy established itself as a nation and the papal state ceased to be. But when you get into Europe and go back and check out the history of that, you're going to find everywhere. You'll find written records of it. You're going to find boundaries of it. It's all over the place where these papal states were a product of the Roman Catholic Church. But the point is this. Do you know of any place on this earth where the Baptist Church has put a stake in the ground and said, this belongs to the Baptist Church? Except for the little patch of land that you've got that you're paying for, that you got a deed on. Apart from that, you don't go into Western North Carolina and say, that's Baptist territory. So you don't do that. You don't do that. Although I'll say right now, my estimation of North Carolina has gone way up. After this thing with transgenderism. Yes, sir. I think an awful lot of that governor and legislature. But you don't go anywhere on this earth and say, this is Baptist territory. The Baptists own this. This government is governed by the Baptists. But that's exactly the way the Roman Catholics did it. Now, why'd they do that? They did that because their eschatology, their view of the earth, is completely different from yours. Your view, if you're a premillennial, is that this church, this born-again body of Christ, we are pilgrims and strangers in this world. And we have no continuing city. We have no boundaries. We don't own any of this world. And the Lord's going to come back and get us at some time and bang, we're gone from here. But not the Roman Catholics. They believe in putting that stake down, buddy, and they own it, and it belongs to them, and they control the governments. And that's because their view is not premillennial. Their view is amillennial. They're not premillennial. Premillennialism will get you out of a lot of trouble. Now, there's a lot of premillennialists that are mid-tribulation and post-tribulation rapture, but they're still premillennial. They believe the Lord's going to come back, and when he comes back, he's going to reign on this earth. All right. So we've covered a lot of ground in here this morning. Let's see what time it is. We've got about 5 minutes left. Let me read this for you. The satanic ritual, they released the power from the underground, paraded a dead lamb. Baphomet is prominent. That's the goat head. Blatant witchcraft dances, invoking demons, and they show the demons coming up. And then they open the doors and the gates of hell. Then in Revelation chapter number 9 and verse number 11, the angel of the bottomless pit. All right. Who slammed into those towers up there in New York City? All right, that's what the news media reported. Most of them from Saudi Arabia. And they may very well have been the ones involved in it. There's more controversy about these twin towers in New York than anything I've ever seen. I'm not going to try to say to you this morning that I've got it all figured out. But I do believe this. I do believe that what happened in New York City is connected directly with the elitist, with the Illuminati, with the One Worlders, and they intend to use that. That was used as a false flag to go into Iraq. And look what the mess we've got in Iraq. But here's the mess that came from Iraq. You got hundreds, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Muslims coming out of the Middle East, and they're going into Great Britain, they're going into France, they're going into Germany, they're going into these European countries, and what's coming from? Chaos. Chaos. And the Phoenix, out there in Arizona, the phoenix, the mythological phoenix, is the bird that rises up out of destruction. It comes up out of chaos. Remember Shiva in front of the CERN, the largest man-made machine on earth, the largest tunnel, Gotthard, the largest machine, CERN. This image is to Shiva, and Shiva is the destroyer. But from the destruction rises up a new creation. So that's what's going on. This image up here in New York City, this square thing that has a center black hole, is an appearance of a bottomless pit up there going down to the heart of the earth. Now, why would you use something like that as a monument to those people who died? Did you know that those firemen that raced into that building and those police officers that raced into that building, in my years that I've been on this earth, I have never seen greater courage? I haven't. I've never seen greater courage, because some of those men knew they were going straight into the jaws of hell and would probably never come out alive again. Yet they went right into it. They went into it. And then since that's happened, the politicians have used it, and the false flag used it, and there's been a lot made of it. But here's what settled me from day one, when I finally saw it. I stopped believing anything they had to say, and it is this. It is the hundreds and hundreds of engineers that say it is completely, absolutely impossible for a steel structure like that to come down the way it did. It had to have explosives. Then they say that they came in there right after it happened, and they found traces of an explosive, and I forget the name of that. What was it? Thermite. That's right, thermite. They found traces of thermite in the rubble of the building, and thermite is an explosive that burns. It burns at an extremely high temperature, and so therefore the building was brought down as a controlled demolition. And when I accepted that, I said, "No way am I going to believe anything else the government has to say about how?" But then immediately you have to think, well, then what's going on? Right. Yes, sir.
The name of that tunnel, G-O-T-T?
Uh-huh, G-O-T-T.
Okay. The first T is inverted.
You say an upside down cross.
Upside
down cross. Is that a standard logo of it? Because I haven't seen that. That's got to be a logo.
When I first saw that video, I watched it, and they had it inverted. I didn't know it meant God, the first part of
God. God is God in German.
So it's God inverted. So it's God, and it means what they were referring to, as above, so, or as below, so above,
yeah.
Or whatever.
Right, right. What is it, Cerebus? I forget it is. The snake that's a hold of its tail. Ouroboros, the snake that's a hold of its tail is above, so below. All right, we'll. Yeah, very interesting. It's very interesting. Yes, sir.
You were discussing Satan offering the demons to the Lord, and he didn't argue with him. I heard you mention that in the middle of the tribulation, that the Lord's going to come back and take the demons.
That's a mid-tribulation rapture. Revelation 11, Moses and Elijah, who the two witnesses are, they're called up, come up hither, he says, uses the same term, he comes and takes the kingdom. When he catches them up, he'll catch them up, and he'll catch up saints in mid-tribulation rapture. Not all of them, there'll be another one at the end of the tribulation. There's three of them. The one at the beginning, that's us, the church of God. The one in the middle, that's the tribulation saints. The one at the end will be the Jewish believers and others. Be three of them that take place in the tribulation. This is why so many people get messed up on the rapture and say we're wrong in a pre-tribulation rapture, and they say there's a rapture in the middle of the tribulation. That's got to be it. There is, but that's not the only one.
At every wedding you have the bride, and then you have the guest.
Yeah, you do.
And that's the formula. And then, the bride is taken
All right. I hope this stuff, if nothing else, will make you think. Amen. Make you think. This election cycle in November is probably the most critical election this nation will ever experience. It probably is. And I'm not going to say to you that I know exactly how it's going to turn out if either one of them gets elected. I don't know. If it even happens.
Either Obama's already put his designs on the UN. He's already made it public that that they're not talking about it, that he wants to be head of the UN.
Yeah.
Netanyahu's already been talking about it.
Yeah. Netanyahu is? Yeah. Yeah, right. He knows what kind of trouble that he makes for Israel. And all right, we'll have a word of prayer and we'll let you go and pick it up again next week. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the time we've had together here together to study your word. Father, help the people, help me, help us all understand how close we may very well be with all this happening. I pray for wisdom. Pray you bless all of them. Give us that spirit of wisdom and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.